listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, March 11th. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. As always, I'm very glad to be here.
Oh, as always, I'm glad to have you and glad to have those joining us live in our live chat. Also want to throw a shout out to those that join us from the archives. Spirit of Life is, of course, a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, and also we want to explore science and spirituality. Of course, in addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs. We encourage you to check them out at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Now, of course, we're going to start with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are, 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And finally, 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So, Dr. Vicki, tonight, looking forward to our topic. If I'm remembering correctly, we are going to debate who the best Star Trek captains were and who thought top spot.
So, Picard,
duh. Well, obviously. I feel like Sisko has a really good run, to be honest with you. I love Captain Sisko.
Oh, come on.
But Picard, yeah. I always used to say Picard was my favorite philosopher.
Picard.
So, yeah. Uh-huh. But Sisko is the goat as well.
You know, we're gonna be living in Star Trek before you know it. I watched a reel today of a vending machine in China that a robot, you put in all your stuff and the robot gets you your whatever it is you've ordered. It was really bonkers.
Oh yeah.
You know,
I mean, technology's getting crazy. But also, it's funny that you say that people in the know. 2026 is when all this bad stuff starts going down that lead to, you know, the... Anywho, but no, we're going to talk about... No. We're going to talk tonight about something much more important, much more fundamental to the human experience, and that is, is this a word? Universality? There's a universal nature to the fact that every culture, every society, every group of people that you get together, they, throughout time, throughout recorded history, as far as we know, have always had a fundamental need to connect with a deep spirituality that I think we all feel. And, you know, I think tonight what we want to do is we want to have a discussion where we talk about why is that? Why do all human cultures, why do all people on, you know, many levels have that fundamental need to connect to that thing beyond the veil, beyond the material? So, Dr. Vicki, why don't you tell us why?
Well, you know, even philosopher, psychologist Derek Fromm, back the early 20th century, had said that even with the onset of industrialization, you know, and he warned that everyone will be entertained to fit into a hole, like things that the society needs. But when the time would come where you can't oppress the spirit. And he's very clear about that the human spirit will eventually demand to be heard, demand to be seen and express itself. So what is that? You know, and I don't think it matters what philosophy or take you have on it, but you're right, Michael. there is this something else. I mean, I know what I think it is, but throughout time, and even religion is, you know, based on the same thing. It's that connection to something otherworldly in some way. But I think that's because each of us is, simply put, a spirit in the body. We, you know, connect with a body and you create a mind. And it wants to remember itself. You know, we want to strive to learn or gain something, but in fact, I think we're remembering. So on wherever we are in a culture, you know, it's kind of what we connect with. The other side is, you know, indigenous communities would say it's that connection with nature, and that's the great spirit, you know, the that energy and spirit in all things, so to speak, that the earth is a spirit as well. You know, we could take it, it's just about that energy and what propels us to live. So, you know, that heartbeat. That's my take on it, but you're right. It's like this yearning, the human yearning for something.
I think it's something that is definitely born from our level of awareness as a species or consciousness. You know, it's you look at existence and you can see, we as far as, in my humble opinion, we can't truly understand what goes on in the mind or the experience of animals and different living things. But from, you know, my perspective, I think that humans can kind of contemplate things on a much deeper level and than many of the creatures that we share the world with. And I think because of that, it just connects us to that yearning that you were talking about, you know, that need to connect and that need to understand. You know, curiosity is a wonderful thing. It is a wonderful thing. It leads to all of the good things in life. It leads to some bad things in life too. Curiosity is a tool, like any, well, not really a tool, but you know, it can have good uses and bad uses in any kind of way. You know.
Well, you know, Michael, there's that saying that, you know, you look at somebody and they're walking and talking, but nobody's home. You know, and if you can sense where their spirit isn't on fire, you know, the lack of passion or an energy, a hopefulness, there's a kind of a desolate feeling about, and not all people, don't get me wrong, but, right. You know, occasionally you come across somebody who say, wow, you know, it's like they flatline. And
oh,
I think
sure.
That's where the curiosity is gone.
Well,
that, you know, that sense of being alive.
I will say a lack of curiosity, that's just unfortunate. You know, that's just in the sense, that's almost like a waste. There's so much joy to be found in this world and so many things to be curious about. But what I'm talking about is, it is indisputable that there have been faiths and beliefs that have been used to harm others. And a lot of these dogmatic beliefs, they come from curiosity. People want to know. People are desperate to know. So that's kind of what I'm thinking about when I'm thinking about kind of the darker side of curiosity, right? But we have to remain grounded, too. Curiosity is going to lead us in a lot of directions, but we don't just settle for easy answers for the sake of things. And resist the pull of cultural sway and that kind of that tug of groupthink and, you know, the, you know, I mean, help me here. I only slept for like 3.5 hours last night, folks. You have to cut me a little slack.
Look, I think part of it is every, you know, everyone prays to their God to win a war,
right?
Every sports team prays to God to win the game. And so I think that's where sometimes the dark side is, we use it for power.
Right.
And even the New Age movement was brutal for that. Although there are, you know, so many good things to glean from it. People calling themselves specialists and making tons of money and, you know, the power of positive thinking. Well, all you do is write and talk about it and everybody else buys your books. You know, I'm afraid sometimes people, their evolution of curiosity starts to wane when they're winning with one good point.
Right.
You know, because it's selling. You know,
you
like,
know,
let's just take Christianity, man. It's selling. So,
yeah.
You know, we want to tweak the rules here and there. We'll just go build a different church. But it's when you want the power of it. That's when there's trouble.
I agree. And I think that, to your point, you know, with organized religion, dogmatic religion, there can be a lot of trouble. I was going to say that, you know, we're all curious. We're all searching. We all have a deep need to connect with a spirituality. And curiosity is a wonderful thing. I always want curiosity to be turned on. But I think that there are people who do not have ethics, who do not have morals, who do not have conviction even, who will use other people's curiosity against them because they spin a good story. You know, they tell you some things that you want to hear. You're curious. You want to know about things. Here, it's nice, wrapped up in a bun, you know, a nice little bow. Nice, contained, easy. And I am here to tell you, that's not how life works. Don't listen to easy answers. I've always had this thing. If I hear something and I love it, I almost am gonna doubt it more. I don't want to fall into that bias of just because I want it to be true, I believe it to be true. If it's something that I want to be true, I almost have to be more critical of it just to make sure that I'm not fooling myself here, you know? So I guess that's what I'm getting at is, you know, don't let your need to connect with spirituality allow you to be taken advantage of by influencers on the online and people that are trying to sell you snake oil. That's all I got to say.
Well, what you've just said leads me to say emotions can very often, well, it does, cloud our good senses and our intuition, you know, because we want something to be true. And then, of course, you've got cognitive dissonance, but it's in an evolution or a desire, that will and that curiosity, how far will we evolve to understand ourselves greater? Because I don't know if it's so much understanding the universe, although I got to tell you something that happened today. A client I've had for 30-some years, sat with her today. It's a good reading, but suddenly I've known her pretty well. But I don't remember reading so much, except the essence of it, because I don't care. You know, it's better if I don't remember. But suddenly I looked at her and I said, do you read auras? I said, they're showing me auras. And she said, yeah, I do, actually. Well, I did for a long time, but when my mom died, kind of went away, and it's coming back. Wow. I didn't know that about her, Michael. And then I said, I don't know. I'm seeing like an outline of a form and you using crayons or something. Get some crayons. This voice is telling me, your spirit guide is telling me, you got to color auras or pencil crayons. You know, get some pencil crayons, something. And she looked at me and said, a few years ago, I ordered this whole set of auric pencils from Germany, and I haven't done it for a long time. I said, I had no idea. Like, where did that come from, Michael? And that's when I have to be just as in a place of wonderment. So that's the other thing I want to bring up in this discussion, is our wonderment to life, that wonderment to synchronicities, or that wonderment to where did that idea come from? Like, where did that notion, where on earth, you know, why would I think of auras and, you know, these auric pencils? And you've got to start drawing auras, coloring auras. I never would have thought that about her before. I had no idea. There was never any reason or cause to bring it up in the past. But it's just kind of wild. And I am just as gobsmacked that this information is flying around. But all we have to do is be open. And I am so grateful for my earliest teachers. And Magda said, enter every reading like it's brand new and you've never done it before. Like, don't have any prejudice, no biases. And she listed all the things that we tend to be biased about. And don't do that. Because then you're learning just as much as the client is learning. And that has taken me a long way. So when you, even the human curiosity, we can think of that kind of as an intellect or intelligence, but it's the wonderment, you know, like in being really, life is surprising. It's, you ever notice, of course, we talked about this before, Michael, you think about somebody and the phone rings and it's them.
Yeah.
You know, it happens so often with my daughter. I pick up the phone and it's ringing in my hand because I was going to call her.
Yeah.
You know, again, that synchronicity. Like, how does that happen?
Yeah.
And okay, if it happens once or twice, yeah, sure.
You know,
I was going to call my friend Susan the other day. I said, oh man, I just got to go to the bathroom first. Well, I'm in the bathroom and she phoned me. I mean, it's those, like the telepathy, the thoughts, and say, wow, I am amazed by that stuff. And I think that's another compelling reason why we're always drawn toward wanting to understand spirituality. Because if you have that wonderment, you have the other curiosities, it's like, well, what is that?
Right. And God, it is... It's the thing that makes life worth living, you know, trying to figure things out. I'm going to say this again. My favorite quote of all time was from Albert Einstein saying, the most beautiful thing that we can experience is the mysterious.
Yeah.
But, you know, it happened to me last night, too, just what you were speaking of. I was thinking of a friend. It was later in the evening, a little after 10. I had been doing some chores. I sit down. I get on my computer, and I'm about to play a game. And there's a program called Steam. Gamers all know this, where you can see friends that hop online or playing. And I was just thinking about my friend. I was like, you know, I need to tell them we need to play online sometime or, you know, get a hold of them. And then I got a call from this very same person just a few moments later. By the way, I hadn't seen them online. It didn't pop up or anything. But but I did.
You sent him a telepathic message.
I popped up on their Steam when I signed in. So that made them think of me. And so they called me. And I had just been thinking about that same person just mere minutes before I hopped on, thinking, you know, we need to get together. Happened a couple weeks before that with my brother. And it's just, it's so interesting how things like that kind of connect. And, yeah, you know, it's that curiosity, that drive. And, again, there is so much to this existence. We can feel it in our bones.
Yeah.
This desire to connect with that. Beyond the veil. And I tell you, it is the quest for knowledge. It is that quest and is that pursuit of our curiosity that, man, it really does make life worth living, I tell you.
Well, for what it's worth, I'm going to share something. It's not off topic, but it is off topic a little. I have a theory, putting two and two and two together, you know, like the thread.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the early 2000s, late 1900s, 2000.
Late 1900s.
Well, 1990s. Yeah, that was a slip. There was a shift in the energy, and I've said this on the program before. Readings became a little muffled. Mm-hmm. You know, like, oh, if you go this way, it's that. And if you go that way, it's this. Or this way. And so I had to call a few other readers and ask them if they said, you know, if they were having the same experience, that there seemed to be, other possibilities in the reality. And I've said this before, we're all going to follow our own path. Like, I mean, when I get to Walmart, there's many ways to get to Walmart. So it was around 25, man, big shifts in people's lives. Whoa. Mm. It was something else. Well, I've since been, you know, reminding myself of Jean Dixon, you know, Dolores Cannon, and a number of them, going back over some of their prophecies and when these things would happen. Well, I also think that that's about when the Mandela effect started coming into play, is in the early 2000s, in the 1990s. And it's where people had shifting realities. And I think that if you can imagine dimensions of life and that we're kind of moving between the worlds, like back in and out of realities. And so just a theory that our memory is also based on the reality we're living in, not necessarily because we see a mug differently, is that we're in this major consciousness shift. And look, this year is big.
Mm-hmm.
And don't get me wrong, I'm acknowledging everything going on the planet. But it seems to need to happen in order for the purge to occur. And that's where I'd call this the correction year. Now, my heart aches for everything that's going on, but it's like I'm okay. You know, like we have to make peace with that. Oh, I can't think of the casualties and the suffering because it sends me, you know, Doug Kelly would say, sends me where you can't get a postcard.
Now, just to clarify, have you ever seen the television or the movie series The Purge?
The Bird?
No, The Purge. There's a movie series called The Purge.
Oh, I don't think so.
Okay,
maybe.
So you're not aware of that terminology. So The Purge is basically a horrible, horrible thing. And I'm assuming we're not talking about some kind of horrible apocalyptic purge where, you know, gangs roam the streets and things like that. You're talking about energies being expunged and things like that, just to clarify, right? Yeah,
energy.
See, Audra, The Purge.
Exactly. Oh, sorry about that, guys. Good for the clarification. It's the corruption.
Okay.
Let me put it that way.
I think a lot of people were thinking the horror movie, The Purge.
Yeah, no, I'm saying a purging of energy. And thank you. In order for these certain shadow figures to be revealed, so we can get about the business of cleaning up. Now, Gene Dixon, I was reminded, and a couple of others have said the same thing. So I'm glad I'm not alone in this, but next winter is when we really need to decide who we are and where we want to go. Because we can't recreate a new system like the old system. You know, it's like we have to create something and start thinking that way of what kind of world do you want to live in? You know, and restore our communities, restore communicating, interconnectedness. And so it's just kind of, you know, figuring out that this school, this Wednesday program and this group, you know, it's like a little family. We're kind of in a hub, if you will. So that sphere of influence and who you are and radiate that and don't let, you know, I always say this at the end of the program, don't let them push around out there, is don't be infected. Continue to radiate and know who you are and stand firm in that. And I think that's going to be the core or the root and that sense of spirit, that sense of spirituality of basically right and wrong, you know, good, bad. And, you know, the nine principles of belief that, wow, you know, base your life on that and what a change that we have. So, it's okay. They're talking about being prepared for all the things to come. And Audra said, you know, she's pretty much ready, but says, I did not say mentally ready because I don't think I should be too prepared for it either. That's a good plan. You know, I say, don't be scared, be prepared. No different than we talked before. You know, if anything's going to happen in your area, have an emergency kit around, you know, like Michael does in a hurricane. You know, it's just kind of be ready as best as you can or find a place to be.
My version of getting ready for a hurricane is going to Publix the day before and grabbing whatever scraps are left.
Well, you know, there are other ways. But it, and Teresa's saying, if we live in love rather than fear, we raise our consciousness. And that's also being connected better with your spirit. Now, again, I think I can say that we all believe in that essence of spirit in this group when we're talking with. Not everybody believes that. So we also have to respect those who don't, and but stand your ground. You know, again, that principle, you know, if it's a principle, stand firm. If it's preference, move over. So, it, and you just mentally, just as Michael just wrote, you know, you got to roll with it. And, we have survived the planet for tens of thousands of years and will continue to do that. And so be hopeful. I don't know. But I guess what I want to say is I think we're all feeling, and in this group especially, feeling that connection to a spirituality. How we frame it, what kind of box we put it in might be different. And, you know, based on your life experiences and how you apply yourself to life. Make sense, Michael? Did I just kind of sum that up?
I think, well, yeah.
Maybe.
It's at times like this, I think back to much of what I read about, listen about, watch about, and when it comes to history. You know, long-time listeners know, I love me some history. It's my jam. And I keep thinking that we live in unprecedented times, but then I keep thinking all times are unprecedented. Well, mostly. I mean, it's like nothing we're dealing with is more significant than 1945, for example, or 1914. 1914 is probably the most significant year of the millennium. So many things changed because of the lead up to in World War I and the aftermath. We are still living the aftermath. Everything we're dealing with on a geopolitical level right now is the aftermath of this event that just changed everything after. And so I keep thinking, you know, are we on that level of change? And yeah, sometimes it can be frustrating and frightening to think that we might be going through strife. But the other side of it is we made it. We've made it through much worse as a people. And we have to look to that resiliency within us. That we are going to do our best. We are going to put one foot in front of the other. We're going to get up because if we have a shot at making the world a little better for everybody around us and ourselves, you know, we owe it to that. We owe it to try to make this world a good place to be. So, you know.
You know, on Sunday I had brunch with my family, and my granddaughter's 18, my grandson's 15, and we got in a bit of a discussion about the state of the world. And of course, you know, the kids, they don't quite understand. So I said, listen. And of course, my daughter gets nervous when I say that because, oh, this could be a long speech. I said, look, I'm going to tell you this really simply. Back in the early mid 1800s, a family decided they wanted to, you know, gain power for generations to come. So they kind of started their own banking system. Well, you know, by the late 1800s, Bilderbergs, you know, JP Morgan, and a few of them got on board so that they could own all the money. And I said, you know, it's kind of wonky is to think of a family. Well, we're going to take over the world over the next 200 years. I mean, what do you care if you're going to die? But what happens in 200 years? But anyway, that's kind of how it happened. So all these events, you know, lead up to a culmination of energy where there's a power structure in play that's getting broken apart because they said they won't win. That I can guarantee you, people, they're not going to win.
You know,
It just, it'll all change energy and change forms. So she looked at me and she says, huh, that's what it's about? I said, that's what it's about. So, you know, I just made it really simple for, you know, a young mind to try to grasp, well, how did this get started? Why are we doing this? I said, well, it's all about money. That's all.
Well, that is very often true. I mean, it's all about a lot of
And
things.
power.
Money, power, control, fate, it's all about a lot of things. I feel like I should throw in a disclaimer. ICMH does not, necessarily, or necessarily not, but necessarily, you know, support the clandestine making history that we've been discussing on this one. These are not official positions, but
I know,
because you know, I'm when it comes to things like that historically, like I'm a little on the more skeptical side. As I mean, yeah, those are various people that definitely built an industry, but I mean, these are just the same characters being played by different actors throughout the constant churn of millennia. Yep. You know, I have a friend who believes very strongly in the one world order that, you know, controls everything from behind the scenes and da da da. Maybe, but I kind of doubt it. I think it's been it always is, where you have elites that kind of, you know, jostle with each other, and it shifts constantly, and there's a lot of things, and people have more power than they expect, and there's always going to be a little more chaos than you'd like there to be in reality, too. But getting back to the point of I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. No, and Michael and I don't always agree on things, folks, so you should know that, but we're okay with it.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't care that he disagrees. He's wrong, but, you know, he'll learn.
Listen, I think if there's one thing that we've all learned about Michael Kelly is that Michael Kelly does not learn lessons, okay? But that being said, no, what I was getting to is really, to your point, my argument with him has always been, even if there is such an organization, even if they think they're all powerful, they're not. They're mere children playing with, you know, imaginary toys in the grand scope of the hundreds and hundreds of millennia that we've been here, or the infinite nature of existence and the future and the constant nature of change, and nothing is forever. So even if they feel all powerful, the cycles of change and the entropy of the universe won't last. So again, it's all temporary. That is, I think, one of the most fundamental things to realize. It's all of it temporary. So I digress.
Michael, nobody can disagree with that one. But, you're absolutely right on that one. It's all temporary. So no matter which way you come at it and which way you think it is, it's all temporary. And there's always going to be somebody else, something else that's going to take its place or give it another go. Because, you know, I have certain expressions I use that I can't say on air, but,
don't we all?
You know, I mean, it's, you know, people like to compete. There's something about, certain folks, they really need to compete and be important. And, you know, we don't need to psychoanalyze that. It's just, I would say then a little disconnect from their spirit, or not living fully from the spirit. Because when you realize that it's not all about the things and stuff outside yourself, when you kind of see the twinkle in the trees and, you know, things, you realize, oh, there's this energy living. And you do, you start living more from that. Certainly you got to earn money to, you know, have a roof over your head and food, right, and so on. But you just start having a different attitude.
Yeah.
I know Audrey mentioned something about it, terrible customers there in the chat. And
that was part of our discussion about the movie series of The Purge.
Yeah, that's right. But, you know, people, unless something's really vile and going on, I just laugh at people. You know, I just smile. Somebody being weird, I just smile and shake my head, and they go, oh. You can get a better reaction out of people doing that than you ever can by, you know, challenging. Anyway, let's draw some cards, Michael.
Well,
names.
It is getting to that time, and, you know, it's been a wonderful discussion. But I've loved the back and forth. I was going to say, you know, I'm reading some of the chats. Competition gives me the ick. I don't know what that means. But what I do know is that I have definitely come out ahead and have beaten you, Dr. Vicky, in terms of when it comes to being a podcast host. So I'm not competitive
myself.
I'm not a competitive person. I'm probably like the least competitive person, but I'm just happy that we won that contest. But anywho.
No, you know, you can have it.
I kid. But no, it's been a great chat, and I wanted to lead that into, yep, we got some cards to pull tonight, and we've had some great discussion. Dr. Vicky, I want to throw this out real quick. Did you see Dr. Kevin's comment above about how you were right? He mentioned that he has 9 more months, and they're going to consider surgery. And he gave you a shout out. So I can't recall the context of that. I wanted to make sure we give him our best and our best well wishes.
Last week he was seeing a cardiologist. He said after we pulled some cards for him, and he was hoping it went well. And I figured that a number of things were going to come up that was good news. So
good.
Congratulations, Kevin, and thanks for acknowledging that. And the feedback, I appreciate it because I honestly never know what I'm doing. So, and I mean that sincerely. It's better I don't know what I'm doing. I'm really happy for you. That's good.
I love hearing that. All right. Well, we have our first card poll leading, if I'm tracking this right, is Dr. Teresa.
Yes.
I have for you number 9, empowerment. Number 9, empowerment. Taking your power back is literally all-powerful and absolutely priceless. It alone is the solution, in principle, for virtually every problematic circumstance in your life, from a bad relationship to spiritual harassment. Retaining your power means to retain your wholeness. When you are whole, you are empowered. Empower others by doing no harm and doing right. Sharing the best of yourself is encouraging and uplifting to yourself and others.
Oh, I like this, Teresa. You know, the 9 of hearts, 9 of cups, I always say that that's about replenishment, you know, a certain abundance, a replenishment. In this case, what I see is whatever you felt like you had kind of lost in the past, it's starting to replenish itself. Like things are, some energies are coming your way too. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say maybe a 10-year loop that you've been through of some kind, a lot of changes, and now you're getting on a new track where you're grounded and gaining your momentum again. So empowerment in that 9 of hearts is awesome. So a real replenishment of energy and gains in the world. I like it. All right. Danelle is next. Are you muted, Michael?
I was muted. But Danelle, happy to have you with us. You get wild card number 6, entropy. Within the cycle of life, there are useful energies, or low entropy, that can wane to uselessness, or high entropy. Their energy stands still and their entropy increases. They no longer give value to the evolution of life. This can include an attitude or behavior that requires adjustment to once again take a new step in renewal and in rebirth. Thus, you lower your entropy. When one seeks to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem, they lower their personal entropy and the world is a better place.
Well, the Ace of Diamonds, that Ace of Pentacles here, I think is something is balancing out. You know, could be finances or some kind of stabilizing force where I'm going to go with balance. Because entropy, that, you know, that's a really powerful energy where you're getting back in sync with yourself in some way. But now maybe looking at a plan, looking better at where you are stability wise. And reconnecting that. And I don't know, maybe some light bulbs have gone on where you're saying, well, that's a good idea. I can do that. And willing to let go of some things now. So that's always a good thing, the cleansing. I hope that makes sense. Kevin, what do we got all for right. Kevin this week?
Well, Kevin, for you, I have number 23. And let me get back there in the book. Number 23, meaning and purpose. The meaning of life is built upon values and beliefs and remains constant. The purpose of life is the action plan for the meaning of life. the purpose can change. A sense of purpose always evolves. The question is not, what is the purpose of life? Rather, it is, what is the purpose of my life? True fulfillment comes when embracing your heart's desire with both meaning and a renewed sense of purpose to fulfill that meaning. This card can relate to the meaning or purpose of a situation or lack of.
Oh, I think that's a great card for you, Kevin. You know, that, well, having a weight off your shoulders for one thing from last week. But you, when you have the seven of diamonds, that's seven of pentacles, to back that up, that's harvest, it's fulfillment. And maybe getting back on track on something you might have set aside, but now, you know, going back in or picking it up where you left off, there are gains to be had. So, I don't know, renewed sense of purpose and getting your energy back a little bit. You know, you can do this. You got a lot to say, Kevin. Got to share it. Your voice needs to be heard. Good. All just right. A reminder. Dr. Jeff.
Dr. Jeff. Glad to have you. And I have for you number 30, greatness to deliver. Every human being is born with greatness to deliver. Greatness embodies unique self-actualization and self-completeness and does not settle for mediocrity. Greatness goes above and beyond what is common and aspires to nobility of character. Greatness is being part of the solution, not part of the problem. Remind yourself with the question, what do I need to reawaken in me in order to deliver my greatness? Remember, you are valued. Delivering your greatness is making a difference in the world. I love that card.
I like it for you too. Yeah, I think that's great for Jeff too. Mm-hmm. You know, Jeff is doing pretty cool things these days, and mm-hmm. I have the Six of Hearts to back that up, which is about family and community. And there's a certain generosity that goes with the Six of Hearts, and it's that, you know, that coming and going of generous energy of, you know, putting it out there, receiving things you hadn't expected. And everything, again, is back to wonderment. So I think you're gaining ground here, Jeff, and you're finding new elements of yourself and always constantly expanding. So I want to say keep going. Excuse me. Sorry, Michael, I had to cough.
Oh, that happens to the best of us. I tell you, sometimes even some people have been known to talk while on mute, too, so, you know. No problem. I'm always happy to cover for some dead air. But
well, I think that's great for Jeff. You're building your own community. I think that's what you're doing, Jeff, and it's great.
All right, perfect.
We have Audra.
Audra, I have for you the perfect card to remind you not to you know, act on any desires for purge when it comes to customer service. Wild card number 5, don't hate. A low-energy signature refuses to learn more in order to better accept and understand others. Hate grows in this low frequency. The result is fear, demonstrated as the need to criticize and control others. This is how wars begin, whether it's in relationships or within families, in relationships within families or between countries. Understanding does not mean one has to agree. It means rising above the low frequency to do no harm and do right to yourself and others. And I will just say, Audra, as someone who has been extensively in customer service, I sympathize and empathize deeply with you.
Yeah. You know, just as you said, don't hate, Audra, I could just have this vision of Audra looking at somebody and shaking her head and just saying, don't hate. So kind of a reverse energy, you know, it's not so much Audra feeling that way, is looking at somebody and calling them out in a very nice, subtle, quiet kind of way. I really liked it. And I got the four of hearts here. I always call that opportunity, something out of nowhere, a gift out of nowhere. So when you combine, you know, that don't hate, and that four of hearts is a, I'm going to go out on a limb, Audra, and just say, I think you nicely call somebody out, and there's great opportunity that results. And the consequence is a really positive one. So, I don't know. I think it's good myself. All right.
I love it. And
Wait.
I was distracted for a moment there. Did you catch that Wendy said Audra had that card on February 25th?
Ah. Yeah, you're dealing with the public, Audra. You know, a lot of people are not happy these days.
Oh, I'm telling you, I'm telling you. But all
Gee.
right, and speaking of Wendy, our card keeper, we have her next,
Yeah.
and I think last, if I got that right. But
It's what?
I think she's our last card of the evening as well. I don't think we have anybody
No, I
else.
have
And
Aaliyah.
oh, my apologies then. Could get, see, this is
Well,
why
usually
Wendy
it's
can get.
me that misses something.
See, this is why I threw it out there. But Wendy, for you, I have number 11, awareness. Every human being has a responsibility to increase their awareness for fulfillment and peaceful coexistence. People generally do the best they can according to their current level of awareness, knowledge, experience, and resources. This card may indicate that an increased awareness in something is needed. Continue to increase your awareness of self and others through observation, acquired knowledge, and a positive attitude.
Ooh, awareness, I got strength. Strength, that's the will of spirit. Your deep empowerment, Wendy. I don't know, Wendy, have you become a little hypersensitive to energy lately? And I don't mean emotionally, but more intuitively, like maybe going through a consciousness shift of some kind. What do you do with it? Maybe sometimes nothing. It's just for your own evolution, but you can hear people or talk to people, but their actions and words don't make sense. You just know it. That's a autosensory perception, and you have a heightened ASP right now, but also intuition. Won't surprise me if you wake up one morning and feel different. To just say, it's somewhere in the cosmos, I did a leap forward. So I love those times. And then I have to get to know myself all over again. It's good. That's great. I like it, Wendy. You have to let me know how that works for you. So we do have Aaliyah.
All
And I
right.
think that is the last of the night. So.
And Leah, for you, I have number 20, deliberate intent. The simple act of intention registers your wants and desires with the universal consciousness, which then sets energy in motion for their attainment. Deliberate intent is focusing your intent like a laser, causing you to become entangled with whatever it is you desire. It's not magic, it requires effort. Focus on what you want, not on what you don't have. Release with patience.
Well, the Three of Diamonds has always been a to me a matter of faith and hope, and a part of me said you're restoring your beliefs or restoring your faith in yourself, maybe, Aaliyah. And maybe there's a, and I don't mean to get too personal, but maybe there was a little breakdown of confidence for a while. You're questioning self-doubt or old self-doubt suddenly surfaced. Maybe they got triggered. And yet now you're able to rise above them because that, no, you've got this and trusting yourself more. So I want to say that Three of Diamonds really says, have faith in yourself. Have faith in who you are. And whatever you believe is what you believe. In whatever frame of reference, but be willing to change that frame of reference if you need to. If your software downloads and you got, oh man, I gotta reboot and defragment the hard drive. We gotta do that sometimes. So, focus on the things that you do want, overcoming the things that might be holding you back. Oh, thanks for the feedback, Aaliyah. She said, yeah, she's been working through her triggers. Just for everybody's sake, we can, you can go to counseling therapy. You can read all the books. You can psychoanalyze yourself to death and say, okay, now I think I've got it figured out. But the minute you get in a situation and there's emotions involved, the triggers go. And that's when we test ourselves to say, okay, let me sense something here. Let me feel my way through it. What are my senses telling me? Let's think about this and decide how I want to behave. Because that's how we become really good managers of ourselves. It's not about control. It's about management. And so we've all done it, Aaliyah. And so you're getting there. You know, you're getting through another round of it. And for the record, you'll go through this the rest of your life. We all do. I've even at my age, you know, I say, oh, well, that's an old trigger. I don't take it personally anymore. Oh, that actually is something that hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
You know? So that's called growing, you know. It goes on forever.
That's another truth.
Yeah.
But so, you know, that's the fun thing about life too, is that we're always learning and figuring out new things.
We sure are. You know, I mean, we can be aware of the world, walk in the world, we have to coexist with the world, but don't forget who you are. Yeah. And when it's time to stand firm, you'll know. You'll just know it. And whether it's from a trigger or otherwise, you know, you just ask yourself, is this preference or is this principle? No, I'm going to stand firm on this one. So wherever you see yourself in life and however you find yourselves actively participating in whatever form, you're the boss of you. That's all. I mean, I decide how I'm going to behave. Thank you very much.
Right.
So, yeah. You know, you can't mistake kindness for stupidity. Kindness is very powerful.
That is true.
I'll tell you.
It's just awesome. Essential. It is not just a nicety. It is not just something that you do as a luxury. Kindness is essential for the survival of our species, and it has been. We wouldn't have gotten to the point we have gotten to without kindness for one another.
There was a woman, I called her my foster mom for many years. She's gone now, bless her. But there was a time, and again, I'm talking many years ago, you guys. She was so good, so kind, to the point where I thought she was flawed, you know? But I don't know if she's living in the real world. But she's involved in charities, and, you know, it was just her whole manner. But I learned something as I got to know her. She had a really rough childhood. And, you know, you know, her family had a little business right in the middle of Chinatown, Vancouver. It was rough. Her mother died when she was young. Then her brother died. She had two brothers left. She's working in the kitchen, doing the laundry for everybody at 8 years old. Street people, prostitutes, drug addicts, all of it, you know. So when I tell you, there was a lot of exposure. But I got to know her and realized she decided who she wanted to be. Like, she decided that.
Mm-hmm.
Despite all that darkness around her. No. She had a few nice little passive-aggressive maneuvers on people. Because I could watch. Very skilled. But it was never with ill intent. Yeah. It was always with all the love in her heart. And she was very good to me and my children. And they called her Grandma Jenny, you know. Mm-hmm. So there's something to be said for observing, again, without bias or judgment, and having to come to terms with my own, you know, little issues at the time, of she really does know the world. But she's not going to wear that. She refuses to wear it. And she's not going to behave that way. And it's such a great, powerful example of love and intent. So, you know, no bitterness, no hostility, nothing, you know. Just a really skillful manipulator. She could get anybody to join a charity, Michael. I never seen anybody work. Man, she could do it. If you needed money for her, for a charity, you just go ask her to help you. Man, she'll get money from everybody. It was beautiful.
Yeah. Anyway. And good to see the powers used for good. But
yeah, I mean, we actually created a foundation in her name. One of the things that we did for her in her retirement was form this group. And she had also been a diabetic most of her life. And so this fund, foundation, was helping. And at the time, there was no funding for juvenile diabetes or, you know, kids, families, and low-income families. They had to pay for their own testing strips and stuff. So, you know, she started this where she would buy those things for them.
Mm-hmm.
So it was great, you know, where she could do some good in that world. And that foundation, I'll have you know, is still going to this
Very
day.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love hearing it. Yeah, there's...
So she left quite the legacy.
It's always good to remember the good things that are achieved, you know, that progress is made. You know, I feel like for some reason I just have the urge to throw out that, you know, the reason you don't hear about the ozone layer is because we came together as a planet and we fixed it. You know, just another good piece of thing that, something that goes right. Mm-hmm. You know, a foundation that helps people, that's something that's going right. Being able to put something back into the world that makes it a better place, that's something that goes right and happens all the time. We're in a year of change. We're in a year where it's going to be rough. It's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be all kinds of things. But amidst all that, it will still have good things happening. You know, those little tiny lights in the darkness. But this has been a good discussion. And this hour's going
by
fast.
Did you know, Michael?
Hmm.
They've done a scientific study that people who swear more are actually more intelligent.
Oh, I've known that for a long time now.
I had to throw that in. You know, I appreciate that we can have fun on this program and, you know, kind of remind people of a little bit of humor and laughter as well. And Michael and I banter like this all the time. I appreciate you, Michael.
Well, I appreciate
you know, there
you
may
more.
Be, there's many years that may divide us, but our spirit is the same.
Ah, oh, thank you. I appreciate that right back at you. I love doing this program with you. I love having these conversations. And I love getting to joke around and chat and see, you know, metaphorically, our live chat every week. You know, this is what it's about. These are the little things that make life so much worth living. But
sure is. And reminding everybody, keep posted for the graduation in May.
Yeah.
Just a footnote here.
Coming right up fast.
Yep. I know.
Yeah. Well, we're looking forward
to it. Do you know
that
this marks 15 years I've been with school?
Jeez, wasn't it? Oh, man,
yeah,
time is just flying by.
15 years. Crazy.
Oof.
Yep.
Well, I tell you, it has been... God, I can't believe it's been... Time is just going by so fast. I'm sorry, I'm on an existential loop right now. But thank you, everybody, for joining us tonight. I can't wait to see you next week. And Dr. Vicky, I'm going to throw it to you. What are your last thoughts for the evening before we sign off?
Don't let them push you around.
Darn tootin'.
That's all. Have a great week, everybody.
Thank you, everybody. Can't wait to see you next week. Until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night.